This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out. 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 Bring them out.
Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we got Eric, we got Jay Moore, we got you. For a three-hour ride here on this St. Patrick's Day, we'll open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for watching our show and all the shows here at ESPN 1000. And Cap, we were able to hear from the general manager for the Chicago Bears, Ryan Poles. He spoke to the press because there's been a flurry of action the last 7 days for the Bears. So he had to speak on it, and we've been talking about it. So why can't he step to the podium here on the home of the Bears? And he did yesterday.
He spoke yesterday, and I love listening to the guy. I love that he's deliberate in his moves. He's not just blowing through cap space, locking guys up if he doesn't know if they have a long-term fit here. It's not going to make people happy, but he is taking a longer view of how he's going to rebuild this thing. He's not trying to win next year, and that's a fact. Did he go out and blow a huge contract on a tackle? He did not. Did he go get edge rushers? He did not. He loves the linebackers he brought in. We'll hear from him on that. But I'm reading you from Brad Biggs' column today. Brad can't block me in the paper. Mm-hmm. And it says, credit Ryan Poles with transparency. Without telling you, he told you the rebuilding project is a three-year process. The Bears are going to need next offseason, both free agency and the draft, where they have Carolina's first-round pick in addition to their own, to stock the depth chart the way they want. There are going to be positions that are weak spots, and it's hard to imagine the D-line being a strength in 2023. I am okay with that if he hits on the majority of his moves. No one's perfect. No one's going to hit on every move. But picking at number 9, he even talked yesterday, you heard it, where he could trade down, he could trade up. So we don't know if he's ending up picking at 9. Right now, that's what he owns. But to know that he's got two number one picks in 24, he's got his first and his second and Carolina's second in 25, and he's given Justin Fields a chance to be successful next year with DJ Moore and Chase Claypool and a healthy Darnell Mooney. Let's see where we're at in 12 months.
The reason why that the Bears are in this position is because they want to start fresh. They want to start from the beginning. And the beginning is to be able to lose out to get the number one draft pick. And you see what the Bears have done with that number one draft pick. I think to the average fan, someone will look at these moves the last 7 days and say, hey, the Bears are going in the right direction. Here we go. Well, not yet here we go, because if you take a look at the rest of the moves that the Bears have to make, the offensive line and defensive line, that is still going to take time even for those new players to be able to progress. So that's the whole thing with this. I know that it's difficult for the average fan to hear that you've got to be more patient because look how bad the Bears have been over the years. But understand that they say they want to build this the right way. We heard this from Kevin Warren, the president. We heard this from Ryan Poles. We want to do this the right way. No shortcuts. What they meant by shortcuts is let's just ramrod a whole bunch of quality players or veterans from free agency in and try to win yesterday. It doesn't work that way. They want to have sustained success this time. No pop-up championships. They want to be able to get it done where they could say, incrementally, we got better this upcoming season. 2024, we're going to get better to the point where you can see the Bears as a perennial playoff team. And listen, I can't tell you that how to feel as a Bears fan. Cap can't tell you how to feel as a Bears fan. But Ryan Poles is telling you the blueprint of what they're looking at.
Right now, you get the sense of we gotta fix everything right now. And the opportunities are going to be limited, but I feel comfortable with between the rest of free agency, we're only 2 days into it, as well as in the draft, that we can get that group as good as we possibly can. And at the same time, there are going to be some weak spots on our roster that we can't fix everything, but we are going to stay flexible to do the best we can to get better. And then, again, if you go from a short-term thinking of we got to do everything right now, you extend that out and do things the right way, over time we'll be able to heal up all of those positions.
If this was going to be a name of an era on an obvious shirt, it would be doing this the right way era for the Chicago Bears.
Correct. Pay attention, Joe Johnson, my guy at Obvious Shirts. Doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. 1 + 2 = 6. There's his next shirt. 1 + 2 = 6. Justin being 1, DJ Moore being number 2. And that should equal touchdowns.
Yep.
And you should get better. Nate Davis should help you on your offensive line. Kicking Cody Whitehair probably in to center should make you a better team. And then maybe Tevin Jenkins goes to left guard. And then you got to find a right tackle. That's probably what you're going to draft. Broderick Jones, reportedly from Georgia, intrigues them.
Mm-hmm.
And he may have moved into the number one offensive line spot in the draft coming out of the combine. He's a big, big man. And athletic. Played in a great program at Georgia. Peter Skoronski, they like a lot. And Paris Johnson from Ohio State, they like a lot. So they should have their pick at 9. He said, we could package something and move back up if there's someone we like.
Yeah.
So do you take the tackle? Do you take Jalen Carter? He also said, we're going to bring him in. We're going to work to figure out what is going on with this young man because there's too much talent to just immediately go, nah, not interested. And 3 years, he's 21 years old, Hoodie. 3 years from now, he's going to be 24 in the prime of screen. You go, we left who on the table?
Yeah.
I like the combine. It's a collection of information. We got some there. We got more, you know, at the pro day. We'll bring him in and talk to him and get to know him even better. And in some point in mid-April, we'll sit down and put it all on the table and see how we want to handle it.
If you're a Bears fan in this era of Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren and what George McCaskey is putting together, you have to be practical and understand that look at where the Bears were a couple of years ago. You were screaming and calling us and getting on your message boards and getting on social media saying change has to happen. Well, this is what change looks like. When you say change, I always make this parallel of a politician. Someone wins an election, like an alderman wins an election, and you vote for that this alderman wins, and then you look out your window the next day and say, wait a minute, I voted for this guy. That pothole in my neighborhood's still there.
Knew that.
I voted for this guy. What about the pothole? Because change does not happen just because you vote someone in. The same thing with regime change. It'd be awesome for the Bears to be able to rise up from 3 wins to the playoffs and say, now we're ready to go. But understand that even with the new players that are being implemented by the Bears via the draft and free agency, they still have to be able to work together. Nothing works in concert immediately as soon as the season starts. That's why I'm patient enough to see how this all materializes. Look, we can look at the Bengals as a great example of a team that was just a lousy franchise for a long time. Lousy ownership going in just a bad direction. Look how the quarterback changed the fortunes of everything. You put Joe Burrow, a winner, in there from college, and look what's happened. Same thing here with the Bears. You just have to wait to see how this all materializes. And I think that that's practical as a Bears fan to look at it that way.
I got a chance to talk to Theo Epstein on the phone, and he said a really telling comment. He goes, go back to the start of it, when he got here. He goes, what did I say at the beginning? And it's true. 59% of the moves, roughly, that a good GM makes will work out. That means you're going to miss a whole lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
If you take all the moves, did he hit on Jason Hayward? Great dude. Didn't work out as well as he hoped. Did it work on, who was the closer? It was always her. Brandon Morrow.
Mm-hmm.
Did it work on Tyler Chatwood? But it certainly worked on Bryant and Rizzo. So add them all up. You're going to make mistakes. You're not going to hit on every draft pick. You're not going to hit on every signing. And there are going to be plans that you set down and go, son of a what? Who got hurt? He did what?
Yeah.
Things happen, man.
It's part of it.
It's part of putting a team together. That's why I hope we go 17-0, go to the Super Bowl, win 100-0, and everyone's right by here going down State Street with a parade. It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
It's not that easy to go from 3-14 to, well, we had cap space, we got draft picks, we traded number one. We're back. No. That's not how it works.
Do you see why someone...
Hold on. You got to say what just went...
Oh, there's a man that went by with a kilt. He's walking his dog.
He was walking a dog that might have weighed 6 pounds.
Yes.
He was dressed in a Scottish kilt,
mm-hmm.
and he was almost as big as you.
Yeah.
With a dog that weighed 6.2 pounds.
Absolutely.
That was a great scene.
St. Patrick's Day.
But that's Scottish, right? Is he in the wrong country at the moment?
I don't know. I think that...
Right.
I think it's all-encompassing on St. Patrick's Day. You wear what you want. I think that's what it is.
You end up wearing what you want, that's for sure.
Jay Moore, you need a little shipping up to Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, that works.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Jay Moore says, no thanks.
Yeah, I'll pass.
And rightfully so. So I look at it like this. The reason why I tell you every morning, almost every morning, Cap, that my whole emphasis on the Bears is based on what's best for Justin Fields is because at least we know that you can work with Justin Fields and say, yeah, you know what? You're raw. You're not green, but you're raw. Mm-hmm. You're a raw talent, and there's a lot more to work with. And I always say what's ever best for Justin Fields because for the short term, at least for the next couple of years, he's going to be the Bears quarterback. Now, what do you put around him? Offensive line, offensive weapons like DJ Moore, and also on the defensive side, too. We can't turn a blind eye to that, Cap. Can't turn a blind eye to it because that helps Justin Fields, too. If you're able to make some stops here and there, mm-hmm. that also helps the offense.
No doubt.
So my centerpiece for all of our conversations, the centerpiece is Justin Fields and what's best for him. And then you move around the team and try to get better free agency and draft-wise. And that's my whole world as a Bears fan. What's best for him? Because at this point in time, there are very few cornerstones in this franchise where you say, we got to do what's best for, our corners. Hey, I do best what it was best for our secondary. No, it's about Justin Fields. Number one, take care of him, and then the rest will take care of itself. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Eric, let's open the phone lines and ask you, the Bears fan. Now that you've heard from Ryan Poles, we'll hear more from Poles here this hour. But based on Poles' moves, is he building to contend next season or for the next 3 years? Again, there's been a lot of movement over the last 7 days. What are you comfortable with as a Bears fan? Well, let's test your patience here this Friday morning about what the Bears are doing. And again, is this for next year or is this next 3 years? And how do you feel about that as a Bears fan? 312-332-3776. Cap and I will take your phone calls and also hear from Ryan Poles coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Captain J-Hood Morning Show. Here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. That's where you can watch this show and all the shows here on ESPN Chicago. This hour, you get a chance to win 2 tickets for our big 25th anniversary celebration for ESPN 1000, March 24th at the House of Blues. The doors open at 11 and the live show between 12 and 6. We're going to give you a chance to win 2 tickets this hour right here on Cap and Jay Hood. Now time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by...
It is brought to you by our great friends at Club Hawthorne. Win $400 in NCAA tournament bets and Kentucky Derby bets while enjoying $4 Sam Adams beers. Details at HawthorneBettingBars.com. That'd be a great way to spend your Friday afternoon on a... NCAA Basketball Friday.
Oh, man.
HawthorneBettingBars.com. Now let's hand it off to Eric Ostrowski.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you? I tried to kick down the door like Shea does. I don't have that quite with me, though.
Yeah, you're more of a suit.
Technically, apparently. What's up, guys? How are we?
We're doing well, man. Doing really well. It's a good day, St. Patrick's Day. And again, some would say, Eric, this is the best 4 days on the calendar. All this college basketball that's taking place.
Some may say that. Yeah. Not necessarily me, but some may.
Yeah.
Right.
We're referring to some.
Right.
Is that, what is that? All right, that's enough of that. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay. I don't know whether or not I should run or scream.
Go How ahead. About run and scream?
Go right ahead.
All right, I'm going to stick with the Bears and the Ryan Poles conversation that we've been having. And generally, the vibe about Ryan Poles in the city is everyone likes him. He's a good interview. People are happy with the moves he's making. The process seems sound. So my question is, a shot or no shot? Being a GM of a sports team in the first 3 years is like the cushiest job one can have. You don't get criticized early as a GM. So shot or no shot, it is a comfortable position to be a GM for the first 2 years of a team.
Yeah, that's a no shot because he's a pro. He's a competitor. He was a player. He was on a team that won the Super Bowl as an executive. And he doesn't want to wake up every day, get in his car, and drive to Halas Hall. Hey, Ryan, how's it going? We're 3-14. How you think it's going? Like, no. He's a competitor, man. It's part of the job.
It's a no shot, and it might be a shot in some markets. And this one, it is. Cushy meaning that he's not going to be shown the door next season. This one, it looks like he's got autonomy. As I said to Cap in Indianapolis, if I'm a GM for the Bears, I feel like I got to hit the ground running because it's like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm going to be fired tomorrow. Like I want to continue to go forward to try to make the team a winner because this is the job you've given me. But clearly, he's got assurances from George McCaskey that says, you know, you've had shortcuts in the past. We're going to do this the right way. So I think in some spots, Cap, where an ownership feels good about a GM, yeah, it might feel comfortable. Yeah, you got 5 years to turn this around. But others, man, you got to do it yesterday. Eric.
Yeah, all right. So March Madness yesterday, we had a couple big upsets. I want to play you the Furman game winner right here. Here's the call.
On the schedule for the best free throw shooter. Clark in a straight jacket. Oh,
all right, that was Kevin Harlan on the call. And I ask you this, shot or no shot, Kevin Harlan is the most fun play-by-play announcer we have right now. He's terrific in football. He gives us play-by-plays on streakers. That one was amazing. He's in a straitjacket in the corner. Can you even believe? Like, I just find him so enjoyable. So shot or no shot, he's the most fun play-by-play announcer we have.
Oh, that's a shot.
Yeah, a shot. Gus Johnson's also on that list for me.
That's there, right there.
I'm a huge Adam Amin guy who I think has a lot of fun in his broadcasts. Mm-hmm. I think Benetti has a lot of fun in his broadcasts. So there are a handful of guys who do national stuff. Amin does national. Benetti does national. The two we mentioned, Harlan and Gus Johnson. But yeah, he's certainly on that list. He's great.
That's definitely a shot. And by the way, as an aside, did you take care of the bet I gave you yesterday? I just handed you money.
On Furman.
You take care of it?
I did. 100%.
Was that in a parlay or just a single bet?
I had a straight bet on, but I had the points. I didn't have it on the money line.
Okay.
And I picked them in the pool for them to win.
Okay.
But when you got Arizona in the final game, kind of blows your bracket up like 3 hours in.
I just want to make sure you were listening.
Clowns.
I just want to make sure you were listening. And I told
you.
So
mad.
I told you to take Furman. And the reason why is because I want you to think of all the coaches that you know in college basketball. You know a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the league is in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Cap, have you ever seen a program so up and down like Virginia and Tony Bennett? That's ridiculous. Win a national championship but lose against Maryland, Baltimore County, right? All right, so you take on Furman.
Todd.
Mark. and you lose. What is wrong with that program? What's wrong with it?
You know, I said to, I think it was to Shea. You might have been there. I thought it was a break. I said to Shea, dude, Brett and I were in North Carolina to see his beloved Tar Heels. They didn't even make the tournament. And they beat Virginia that night, drilled them. And Brett's like, Virginia's not very good, Dad. So he and I both took Furman in our pools.
Very smart.
Yeah. Now, did I bet him on the money line? I did not. Didn't have the cojones to do that. Mm-hmm. But I did take the points. That shot, I'm in the family room. The dogs are asleep. My wife's packing up to go, and oh my God, he hit it. I was going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Arizona went down, I went, well, that meant nothing.
Yeah.
Frickin' Arizona.
Nothing you could do about that. You just take the wins as you get them, though, in the tournament. That's how that works. So, Eric, I had Furman getting the job done because Virginia. See, he won't break bad on Tony Bennett like I will because he's a friend of his. Tony Bennett is a problem. That program's a problem. National championship, and then you're the one seed and lose to a 16. Then you lose to Mark Furman and OJ in the Rodney King trial. That's ridiculous.
Wow.
Horrible.
It's Todd Furman, the gambler.
No. It's Mark.
It's his school. He owns it.
Yeah. I think it's Mark. For years, I mean, keep in mind, Furman has not been to the tournament since
80.
Since Carter was president.
Right. 1980, and they hadn't won a game since the 70s in the tournament. And yesterday, they win, and it is 2 minutes later, a picture of Mark Furman, the cop, is on my phone from Hoodie, and I texted him a picture of Todd Furman, the odds maker.
Uh-huh. Eric.
Wow.
All right, so stay night. Now, since your bracket, we'll bring on the other upset with Arizona losing. And then, so we've had these two big, massive upsets, and then we got the big, another round of games today. So my last question is because all this excitement these 2 days is after today, is it all downhill for March Madness from here, shot or no shot?
No, I still got a day. I can still survive. I can still survive today. Because now, Saturday, you can do the shot or no shot Saturday.
I guess entertainment-wise, is the most entertaining part of March Madness over today, shot or no shot?
That is a no shot, because I still got today. Okay, maybe somebody had Arizona for winning the national championship. Maybe somebody had that. But still, today, I can still get my bets and get some upset wins. Absolutely. So, no, I'm not dying today. Saturday, maybe I can tear my brackets, but not today. No shot.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The best days are not over. They're my favorite. I said that openly on the air this week, that I always was a baseball opening day guy because I'm baseball. Love baseball. But, boy, those 2 days are amazing. But Saturday, Sunday, it's going to be a lot of fun to still watch hoop. And next Thursday, Friday, the Sweet 16 games. Those are a lot of fun. So, yeah.
Eric, you got the schedule. Do we have Northwestern in our air when they take on UCLA tomorrow?
We do not.
Oh,
no.
That's too bad.
That was nice that we got that yesterday. Absolutely.
Very cool.
The station of winners. We got Northwestern beating Boise State on our air.
Frickin' Princeton beating Arizona.
What are you going to do, man? What are you going to do? I mean, I
good
don't
for know. Mitch Henderson. He used to be the assistant at Northwestern. He's the nicest guy in the world.
I don't understand that either. How do you let Princeton put their gimmick offense on you, and then they tie you up in knots? Like, I don't understand what I saw there. But you know what? Here it is, Eric. Here's the one thing we always know. This whole front of the uniform thing does not matter anymore. Does not matter where you're from. Everybody can play.
Correct.
Everybody can play.
You know who the kid was who knocked down the free throws for Princeton? We called his game. You didn't even know that.
What was his name?
Caden Pierce. His brother, Alec Pierce, played at Cincinnati football. He's in the NFL on the Colts, the wide receiver.
Yeah.
He played for Glenbard West when we did the game last year against LeBron James' kid, Bronny.
Totally forgot.
At Sierra Canyon.
Forgot, yeah.
Caden Pierce.
Cousin of Paul? No.
Not because of the fall.
All right.
No. He didn't need a wheelchair to get off the floor either.
Wow. Caden Pierce went to the line and they said, oh, it's a young man for the Chicago area. I'm like, yeah, Hoodie and I called his game.
That's right. That's right.
Free throw after free throw. He's banging him. He's a freshman.
Eric.
All right, so I'm going to go to the NBA real quick.
Yes.
Last night, Steph Curry, terrific. Had 50. They looked great. Or he looked great. They lost again on the road. They're 7-27 on the road. Is the shine on the Warriors, because their young players are missing, their old players are aging, and now they've got contract issues. Is the shine on the Warriors off now?
That is a no shot, and you could ask me after the playoffs are over that question. I will say no shot. For whatever reason, I told Cap, if you want to get on a heater, bet against the Warriors on the road. Put it apart. I sold you this like a month ago.
You did.
Put it in your parlay because they have a hard time winning on the road. The shine's not off yet because I believe that this team still has a little fight left. I mean, Steph Curry, and again, the 50, you think there'd be enough. Most nights, back in the day that have been enough for the Warriors to win. Not the case lately. But I still believe that the Warriors are going to have a little fight. Now, let me just say this. If it's the 1-8 matchup, let's see, 1-8 would be Nuggets and Dallas, Sacramento, Minnesota, Memphis, Golden State. Uh-oh. Now maybe Memphis will get their comeuppance because Memphis thinks already they're better than the Golden State Warriors.
Well, getting Jaws back is going to be huge.
But maybe, maybe Memphis gets their comeuppance for once because those teams hate each other. Those two teams hate each other. So let's keep our eyes on that. I don't think it's done yet.
By the way, quick sidebar, may I approach?
We're in the middle of a shot or no shot.
We've got a break. I get because we got around the NFL, and I got something for that, too. Sidebar, may I approach? Brought to you by Ankin Law, 3126 Mike. Signed my ball. Okay, I took care of all of it. Apparently, the kid Johnny Newton that you said XFL.
Yeah.
Apparently, he'll be like a top five pick.
Oh, just year. Messing around. I didn't. Yeah, you know, I didn't mean that.
Buddy of mine, Joe, says Johnny Newton XFL. He's first team all Big Ten. He's a first round pick right now.
Okay, to whoever texted you, ask them: do they have any funny bone in their body? Could you just tell them: do they have any satire?
I don't
at all.
I don't know Johnny Newton.
Yeah, but I was like, and I'm just blowing the collar off because he's telling us about next year. That's why I said that. So just text that
Jackaloon
back and tell that Jackaloon that we're just funnin'. I guess maybe that's what we're just funnin'. Okay,
Jonathan, I'm with you. As long as Steph is on Golden State, it's a no shot. The shine's there.
Yeah, I think that they still have an opportunity because of his shooting prowess. I really believe that. And we get to the end of the season, if they get bounced early, then there you have it.
Maybe Steve Kerr should take the Cal job.
That's an idea.
Go to college.
That's an idea. Around the NFL, and don't forget Courtney Cronin coming your way at 8:35 on the Bears. All part of the mix right here on the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap'n J Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know. You know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
We're going to go around the National Football League right here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, Cap and Jay Hood. Weekday mornings at 7. I'd like to remind you that you have an opportunity to party with us. Our 25th anniversary celebration for ESPN 1000 will take place on Friday, March 24th at the House of Blues. Doors open at 11 a.m. We've got a pair of tickets for you to win. Stay by your listening device on how you can win coming up at 8:50 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. All right, let's go around the NFL, Cap.
I'm going to start with a story here.
Uh-oh.
In a debate on who has leverage between the Packers and Jets, consensus around the NFL is the Jets have the overwhelming leverage. Quote, the Jets are not in a do-or-die situation where they absolutely need Aaron Rodgers or the franchise crumbles.
Okay, cool. Then don't ask for him.
The Packers' financial books will be a mess if the Packers cannot move Aaron Rodgers' contract. You agree with that?
Well, I mean, listen. Well, I don't know their books, but I would say I still stand firm on what I said yesterday. I'm not going to go back on it. I believe that the Packers are the one with the asset. The Jets need this quarterback to get out of their 7-10 doldrums. I mean, again, who needs the asset more? That's the question. Who needs the asset more, Eric? The Packers or the Jets?
I would say the Jets at this point. I do. I feel like they've built their whole offseason around that.
Again, Cap just laid out the numbers. I'm just saying that from the Packers standpoint, maybe they see something in Jordan Love that we all don't see, where there is a seamless transition from Favre to Rodgers to Love, in which he dominates the NFC North. I have no idea. But I'm just telling you that from the Jets standpoint, you know, they want the asset. And I'd say the Packers have the leverage. Like, what are you willing to give me? I can't believe the paltry sum, by the way, of the first round pick and third round pick. And that's it for Rodgers.
Because you're taking on $100 million minimum in guarantees. And you're taking a guy who's 39. If he's 29, the haul would be epic.
I need a player. I need a player in that spot from the Packers. Can I get a player off the Jets roster?
Doesn't sound like it.
I'd like to have that.
Again, if this NFL analyst is accurate, that the overwhelming consensus around the league is that the Jets have all the leverage.
Okay.
And that if they say, you know what, keep him. We'll go get Lamar or we'll do something else. We're not holding us hostage. Interesting, because the Packers would have to start cutting guys.
And so the answer would be Zach Wilson then if Rodgers doesn't come. If say Lamar Jackson goes back to Baltimore and that Rodgers goes back to Green Bay.
Well, they could trade back up and draft one.
Yeah.
This roster is ready to win.
Agreed.
Yeah, and Bryce Young is not going to win right now.
Agreed.
That's where I think the need is.
It's an interesting conundrum.
You texted that Jackaloon back, by the way?
I did.
Okay, thank you very much. Let him know. Sometimes we do a little jazz hands here every now and then.
Correct.
It is the morning. I guess if that's okay.
Correct.
Sorry, hard J journalism. Go ahead, Eric. What else do we have?
Yesterday, the last couple days, has been a run on backup quarterbacks.
Yep.
So Gardner Minshew went to the Colts. We've got Drew Lock back with Seattle. And there was one more. P.J. Walker with the Bears. Yes. Jameis Winston back to New Orleans.
Wow.
So a lot of them are falling out there. So out of all those lists, are we happy that the Bears got P.J. Walker? Or you wish they would have gone after Marcus Mariota is now backing up Jalen Hurts as well?
Well, P.J. Walker doesn't have any expectations. But a guy like Marcus Mariota, he'd be breathing over the shoulder of Fields. Not saying that he would take the job, but he'd be like, you know, I'm a star in this league, right? Yeah, you're not.
Correct.
But he thinks he is.
Correct.
I think P.J. Walker, I think he knows. Like, I can learn a little bit from this offense. I can learn something from what the Bears do.
Well, one thing that I have been always saying, in my opinion, doesn't make me right, doesn't make me wrong, you need a quarterback that can run the same system. Tyler Huntley is not as good as Lamar Jackson, obviously. But they run the same system. They don't have to change what it is they do. And if Justin's going to be the quarterback and he's going to use his legs, you would like someone who plays like him. P.J. Walker is that style quarterback. Marcus Mariota is a great guy to back up Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So those, I think, are well thought out, the way that they use their backup quarterback.
Well, what about the game of musical chairs, Eric, that Jameis Winston has to go back to the Saints?
And so we had a couple reasons, and then Mariota's going back to Philly where he was drafted as well. It's interesting. If I was an offensive player, I wouldn't want to go play for...
Wait, Mariota wasn't drafted in Philly.
Chip Kelly, no?
No, Mariota was drafted by the Titans. Wasn't he?
I believe that's correct.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Didn't he play for Chip Kelly? Am I making that up?
In college.
Oh, that's it. Okay, so there's Oregon. Where it comes through. I saw a graphic of them all together
at
Eagles, George. Yes. Uh-huh. So that's where it comes through. Okay.
Yeah, I think he was the second pick overall and went to the Titans.
Yes, that is correct. I got it now.
All right. What else do we have?
Linebacker. So, okay, do you think this is the best secondary in the NFL? Jalen Ramsey and Xavien Howard in Miami. So that Miami team has speed and mean men on offense. And now both corners are arguably top five corners.
Could you refer to them as mean men?
Mean men. That offense, like, come on. Tyreek Hill coming down bearing at me. That's mean, dude. He's flying.
That's the dad coming out in Erica Stoskar.
Yeah, right? Mean men.
Look, honey, Olive, look. There's a mean man here. Flip the page to the next story. Mean man.
Mean man.
That's right.
That's it. Yeah, that's a book right there.
You know what? I think you might have something there. Jalen Ramsey.
And Xavien
Howard.
Yep.
I think you might have something there.
And I think that's really a nasty weapon. So did you guys, sidebar, I brought up Tyreek Hill. Did you guys see his little indoor track run?
Yes.
Where he blew everyone out of the water?
Yes. Yes,
did you know
I did.
That he would have only had, like, the sixth best time for high schoolers in that race? So, like, it's like they put that event on to make him look great.
Well, yeah, because all of those guys that he was taking on were... You know, not necessarily runners. One of them is a current track teacher.
There we go.
If you can imagine that, right? There's a guy that used to run track on a regular basis, I think, 6 years ago. Now he's a track teacher at a college. Or track coach, I should say.
Right.
Track coach at a college. And he didn't take it seriously until he saw, oh my God, I just had beers last night. Apparently, that's the story I heard on Levitard show. Like, the guy was like having like a steak and like, you know, some beers. Like, oh, I'm going to do this whole trip.
I'm racing who
is
now?
Tyreek Hill. Oh, God. Cheetah.
It's just people were drooling over that video.
Ah, what about the steak and the beer I had last night? This is going to be a lark.
Binge and purge.
Oh,
quick.
My God. Oh, quick. My God. Like, and I think once he saw him on the sheet of like, he was thinking to himself, is that the real Tyreek Hill? It'd be funny if that was, oh, my God, it is him. What am I going to do?
So one of the ranking services that I follow, Sportsnet, they have the top defense. They have ranked them 1 to 32 after 3 days of free agency. Miami's ranked fifth best overall defense, and they said secondary might be the best. Might be the best. Where are the Bears ranked defensively? Don't forget, you called that the worst defense of your lifetime. Where is it now? What number?
Oh, I'm sure it's in the middle now, based on how they rank it. I'm sure it's 19.
31st.
Do they have it really?
Oof, 31st.
Oh, good. Good. Because usually those stats lie. They try to fluff it up. You know, these are fluffers. These are roster fluffers that we have now. You know, PFF and all that. It's like, it's not as bad as you think because of this metric. No, I know what bad looks like.
Arizona, the worst, 32nd. Chicago, 31.
It's funny that Eric brings up Miami. Imagine if they had a quarterback.
I might. Like, so much is riding on Tua's bruised brain. Like, it's a lot. Because they've got everything else in order.
But is he good enough, Mr. SEC? Is he good enough if he's healthy?
Nope.
He's not.
Nope.
That was like 3 years ago. It was tank for Tua. Do you remember this?
I agree.
This was a thing.
And
That's welcome to draft time, Cap. That's what people do.
And I never agreed with it.
What have you done for me lately?
Right?
Wow.
A little bit of bitterness of what he did against my Georgia Bulldogs. And also, I think the crafty lefty just wasn't. I just don't think that he's NFL sound.
And he was the guy that Jalen Hurts had to transfer because of.
There you have it. Now, here, what do we always say on the show? Gotta look the part, right? Never thought he'd look the part. Never thought. There's a lot of things against him. He's Alabama quarterback, that's one, and size, and all. No shot.
Wow.
I didn't think so. You know what? I don't think Adam thought it either. And Abdallah's the biggest Alabama fan that we have here. I don't think he really felt strongly about Tua in the NFL.
I'll have to ask him when he comes in.
Courtney,
where he really was on it.
Don't forget, we got tickets. The 25th anniversary celebration for ESPN 1000 coming up in our next half hour, as well as Courtney Cronin next right here on ESPN 1000.
Here's today's headline.
Headline.
It's Cap'n Jay Hood.
Jeez. Now, after that, we'll take a break and have Courtney Cronin back after this. Lonzo Ball, in the morning, Chicago. Lonzo Ball will have his third surgery on his knee. The 25-year-old point guard will undergo a third surgical procedure on his left knee in 14 months, according to Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN.com. Other Bulls news, the Bulls will take on the Timberwolves tonight at the UC at 7 o'clock. Michael Jordan is in serious talks to sell a majority stake of the Hornets, according to Woj. Also, story out there about the NCAA tournament. Northwestern defeating Boise State is heard here on ESPN 1000 by the score of 65-67. Arkansas over Illinois, 73-63. And we have White Sox baseball right here on ESPN 1000, beginning at 3 o'clock as the Sox take on the Cubs. Jay Moore.
Good morning. Glad you're along for the Cap'n Jay Hood experience. We're here weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN.
Hello.
Chicago.
Good morning.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, national Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Courtney Cronin with us here as we talk Bears here on ESPN 1000. High fives and smiles all around in the Cronin household as Northwestern gets the job done the first round of the NCAA tournament, defeating Boise State 75-67. Good morning, Courtney.
Hi, guys. How are you?
What's going on, Double C?
You know, that gambling read, I actually made the same mistake because I know that's supposed to be sped up, the one that you guys played before you brought me on. When I was hosting a show once, I actually read the whole thing because we didn't have it in our ENCO system.
Oh my!
I think it took 2 minutes to get through that, reading all of those numbers.
My God.
That's just so ridiculous.
Enough.
We tried to speed him up, but he was still on the air. So we tried, but he just kept talking. I don't know why. I know you're happy. Your Wildcats get the job done. Something to be said, Cap. Tell me if this cliche is correct. Defense travels. Good defense on a college basketball team travels. Doesn't matter where it is.
You're correct.
In this case, Sacramento. And then great guard play travels as well, right?
Did you say her Wildcats?
Yeah.
Her Hoosiers. She's a Hoosier.
I've got to keep the family happy, and I want to keep myself happy, Cap.
Oh, that's just having too many chips on the table because the Hoosiers are losing to Kent State today.
Oh.
You know, that's the 13-4 upset that I think a lot of people have picked. My bracket's not busted yet, but I did have the 12-5 Oral Roberts over Duke, which looks really idiotic right now. But, no, I'm happy for Northwestern. I'm happy for my mom and my brother. My brother actually went out to Sacramento to watch the games like a crazy person. And
wow.
You're right. I mean, good defense does travel. They held Boise to 26% from three. And we were talking with Chase Audige on air last night, and some of those threes that Boise made were just wild shots that happened to go in, but they locked him down on the defensive end, and you know that clearly was reflected in the final score.
All right, I want to read you something Hoodie and I have been discussing. This is from Brad Biggs' column in the Tribune, and I would like you to react to it because I think I've been clear. I hope the Bears go 17-0 and win the Super Bowl next year. I just don't believe that's grounded in any form of reality. I don't think it's a 9-10 win football team, and I think Ryan Poles is telling you that by his action or lack of action at certain positions. Here's what Brad wrote in the Tribune. Credit Ryan Poles with transparency.
Oh,
without
clear it out.
That's a fun. Without telling
Harry.
You, he told you the rebuilding project is a 3-year process. The Bears are going to need next offseason, both free agency and the draft, where they have Carolina's first round pick to stock the depth chart the way they want. There will be positions that are, quote, weak spots, and it's hard to imagine the defensive line being a strength in 2023. Do you agree with that we all want him to win, man? It's more fun. He's taking a slower approach.
I mean, yeah, I think he's been, there's never been a time where you've questioned whether Ryan Poles is committed to his plan or whether he's going to look at the NFC North as, hey, this might be wide open with Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets, probably. Time to go all in now and divert course. I mean, he's been so adamant that he wants to build this thing the right way. And the question he answered yesterday about how do you fix this really bad defensive line, at the time we talked to him, they had the one signing in DeMarcus Walker, who was a rotational player with high upside and coming off a career year, but that's one player and you probably need about six more up front, including depth signings for a rotation. And when he said that there are going to be some weak spots on the roster and that you can't fix everything, but they're going to try to stay flexible to add in the second, third wave free agency and then, of course, the draft, that's quintessential Ryan Poles with this plan that he has to build this thing over time. And I know there's some fans that look at this and say, well, why did they sign all these linebackers if you don't have anybody, you know, maintaining their gaps up front and letting guys get to the second level? That just kind of defeats the purpose. They're going to get there eventually, but that's like, you can't hit every hole in the off season. I mean, I think I said that in my rejoin, like that's the thing that I constantly preach, that this is a team that has a lot of gaps to fill, and to think you can do it all in one 5-6-7 month off season is kind of naive. And I think the Bears are not naive in that, in knowing that it's going to take time and that they did the best that they could in free agency. And frankly, they did a pretty good job so far.
Courtney, we have not spoken since Tim Montgomery became a Detroit Lion. I want to get your overall thoughts on Montgomery as a Bear and also the signings that the Bears have been able to have. Travis Homer and Foreman now part of the team as well.
Yeah, I think that the Montgomery, like him getting let go in free agency, because it was really quiet at the early part of the week about what they were going to do with him. And there was a belief by some that he was going to end up back in Chicago. And when you see the deal he signed with Detroit, and frankly, it's probably the best deal in the free agent market, because you saw what Jamal Williams got with the Saints. I am a little surprised that the Bears, after lauding David Montgomery for his contributions and what he meant to this team, a little surprised that they didn't end up trying to bring him back. But $11 million in guarantees, Ryan Poles is probably looking at this saying, I can split that up and spend it on the Robert Tonyans, the Deontay Foremans, the second wave free agent signings that are the 1 year, 2 year deals, and they're a lot less expensive in relatively speaking than David Montgomery. But I like the Foreman signing a lot. And I just remember when Deontay Foreman got drafted, I believe it was like 2018, and all those seasons he spent with Texans, I'm like, all right, something's going to happen here. Because that was, you know, Deshaun Watson was young. They had DeAndre Hopkins. They had, in theory, a really good offense. Foreman kept getting hurt, and he kept, not doing anything. And I was like, man, this sucks, because this is a prospect coming out of college. I remember him when he was a third-round pick when he was at Texas, thinking, this is going to be somebody who could be really good. And he finally puts it together last year with the Carolina Panthers, finally has a fully healthy season. So the Bears not only have the Panthers' leading receiver, they have their backup quarterback and their leading rusher. And so I think there's a lot of good pieces here. And the Foreman signing, more than Homer, starts to make up for some of that rushing productivity that they got from David Montgomery and being able to split up what you get from a three-down back, because that role is probably going to Khalil Herbert, but they still have different parts of this room that are coming together. And I wouldn't rule it out that now that you got Foreman, you have Travis Homer, who's more of a natural pass. He claims he's the best pass-blocking back in the NFL. We'll see. But he's also a more natural pass catcher. If you add one more back, maybe early day three in the draft, that's a pretty solid room, or at least that has a chance to be.
All right, before we let you go, what's the next thing he does? I know there's not a lot left in free agency, and when John Harbaugh and Andy Reid go, Orlando Brown, get out, we're good. We'll move on and get somebody else. He said scheme fit, but they really had zero interest there in the guy, right?
When you hear them talk about the linebackers, that's the thing about scheme fit really stood out about what they're looking for. And of course, he shut down the Orlando Brown Jr. talk in a similar way, but very quickly. If the guy is not a wide zone sort of player, they're not going to go after him. And I can understand that. I mean, that's guard money that they paid, Cincinnati paid to Orlando Brown Jr., but that's still $31 million in guarantees. And I think that Ryan Poles looks at that and says, if you're not the right fit, because remember last year, he at the combine, he said he wanted to get lighter up front and more athletic up front. I mean, you're looking for guys who can play in an outside zone scheme, who can get to the second level, who have that more athletic build. And that's nothing against Orlando Brown as a player, but that's just not what they were looking to do. But the next thing they have to do is continue to add to the offensive line. And it's not going to look pretty in the second, third, fourth wave of free agency, if you want to call it that. Those are going to be veteran minimum signings, guys who are there to fill a void. Remember they did it last year. They brought all those guys in, Dakota Dozier, who was a turnstile in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But that was supposed to be their starting left guard. It comes during the draft. It comes when you can look at nine and say, hey, is Peter Skoronski there? Is that the guy that they want to draft? That's where you start to fix this thing more long-term. But I like that they have the option of, some competition up front. Poles told us yesterday they might move Cody Whitehair back to center, give him a chance there. And then you've got Nate Davis in the fold. You have Tevin Jenkins. If you believe that he can still fortify that right guard spot, maybe you move Jenkins over to left, and maybe you continue to tinker with it. But that's got to be the next thing that they attack here in the next couple weeks.
Courtney, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Go Hoosiers.
Have a great day.
Go Kent State.
Courtney Cronin is with us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom. Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Your chance to win tickets to our 25th anniversary celebration on March 24th at the House of Blues. How can you win those tickets? Find out next, right here on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.